Global shares tumble again after the U.S. limits travel from 26 European countries and asks Congress for tax relief measures. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. It's another sea of red in financial markets. After falling 5% to their lower limit, trading on S&P 500 futures was halted this morning. That's after stock markets in Thailand, the Philippines, and Indonesia also tripped so-called circuit breakers that suspended trading there. European stocks are hitting their lowest level in 4 years. The Pan-European Stock 600 Index is down 6.5%, with travel and leisure shares dropping 8.6%. Oil prices are also tumbling. Brent crude is off 5.5%, while gold is rising slightly. Emma Wall, head of investment at Hargraves Lansdown, says America's new travel restrictions were just the latest blow to an already beleaguered market.
This is not the only piece of news flow that we've had this week that has caused market jitters. We've had in the last couple of weeks two central banks cutting interest rates. And although what that is designed to do is increase stability in markets, the message it's sending is we, the central banks, believe that coronavirus is going to impact economic growth. And so the market really reacts to that conclusion rather than to the measure.
We've seen airline and travel companies under renewed pressure today. They've already seen a big drop from the coronavirus outbreak and people restricting their own travel. What kind of impact will this new travel ban from America further have on these industries?
Now it's coming from a government level. It is, of course, going to have a far bigger impact. And I don't think this is the last of this news to come. Here in the UK, there are lots of measures that are being implemented reducing travel. We haven't quite had a government-wide stance yet, but potentially that is to come too.
We've heard rumblings in financial markets. There's increasing difficulty matching buyers and sellers. Are you seeing that?
We have seen trades in both directions. So some people are using this as an opportunity to top up positions for the long term, but there has definitely been selling as well. In terms of sort of global supply and demand, we're in officially bear market territory for a number of global markets. So I think it's safe to say people are turned off equities for the meantime.
Emma Wall, head of investment at Hargraves Lansdown. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Federal Reserve and the Bank of England have both made emergency moves to bolster their economies. Today, it's the European Central Bank's turn. Lena Komaleva at G Plus Economics explains what to expect.
The package is likely to include a cut in the deposit rate, a more generous tiering system for bank deposits at the European Central Bank, and additional asset purchases, probably focused on corporate bonds and liquidity injections to incentivize banks across the regions, especially in Italy, of course, to provide more loans to small and medium-sized enterprises.
How much room realistically does the ECB have to cut rates after this? They're already in negative territory.
When you're a central bank like the European Central Bank that is running negative interest rates, you're effectively no longer targeting interest rates in the markets. What you're targeting is essentially bank reserves, i.e. liquidity in the system. What the ECB is saying is, look, we're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to provide whatever the banks need, whatever they need to support liquidity in the real economy so that this shock proves to be temporary. And we're going to do it without taking any of that liquidity away. The negative interest rate is really a side discussion, but of course it's awfully controversial because of the concern that more negative rates will only serve to hit banks' profitability, and that may actually be counterproductive when it comes to lending. So the ECB has got a very tough balancing act today to persuade the markets that what it's going to do is going to be enough, it's going to work.
Here in the UK, there was a coordinated effort between the central bank and the government to shore up the economy yesterday. In the US, it seems it's President Trump against the central bank and Congress. Does a more coordinated strategy work better?
Oh, absolutely. I think what the markets do agree on is that while cyclical measures are no panacea to the direction of risk during a pandemic, especially because of the uneven response across regions, they are going to be critical in re-anchoring investor and business and consumer expectations that this economic shock is not going to be permanent, that there is going to be a backstop that means that small and medium enterprises are not going into default, that workers are not being laid off. There's going to be economic pain, but it will be contained, and there's a path towards a recovery once the pandemic has peaked.
Lena Komaleva, economist at G Plus Economics. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
In an unprecedented move, the NBA has suspended its season after a Utah player tested positive for COVID-19. That's after Italy halted all soccer games in April, and Barcelona said its games will be played in empty stadiums. The BBC's Rahul Tandon explains how the virus is impacting global sports.
Let's start in Italy, which is, of course, under lockdown. Serie A is one of the world's most popular and most watched soccer leagues. But for the next few weeks, Ronaldo and other soccer players will be hanging up their boots because the coronavirus means that the league has now been suspended. Fernando Giugliano is an Italian business journalist based in Milan.
There is a hope that these games can be simply postponed and played, say, you know, in a month and a half, 2 months' times when things hopefully will be better. But there is no certainty. And obviously, football fans are staring at the possibility of having the first season, I think, since the war, or at least in very many years, without anyone winning the title, which is pretty amazing when you think about it.
The biggest sporting event of this year is, of course, the Olympics. Tokyo has spent more than $12.6 billion on the games, broadcasters millions on sports rights, and athletes, well, they've spent years training for it. But with the virus spreading, can it go ahead? Here's the president of the Olympic Organizing Committee, Thomas Bach.
The IOC remains fully committed to the success of the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020.
Now, sport is, of course, a multi-billion dollar business which attracts huge crowds. So has the industry ever faced a challenge like this before? And what will be the long-term financial impact? Questions I put to one of the world's leading sports business analysts, Professor Simon Chadwick.
I think this is an unprecedented situation for sport. There are other situations, maybe the Second World War is one comparison you could make. The global market for sport is thought to be worth somewhere in the region of about $700 billion. It does pose a challenge to the global value of sport. It does pose a challenge to the economic impact of sport.
But for those whose health might be put at risk by proceeding with events against scientific or medical advice, that may well be a price worth paying. I'm the BBC's Rahul Tandon. The Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.